Pete Jody Mack and Gary Myers here. How are you, bud?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Well, Pete, we ended the last session with having a conversation about who the greatest running back is in Giants history. And the previous caller tried to make a case for Ron Johnson. And I'm just, without telling you who we decided on, just curious what your thoughts are, considering you did cover the Giants for a long period of time.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's Ron Johnson. I will say, though, that Ron Johnson was my first football hero growing up in Northern Connecticut, a Giants fan.
Mm-hmm.
In his 1,000-yard year, Ron Johnson came to my town, Enfield, Connecticut, and made an appearance at a mall near my house. So I went and met him. So I was a big fan of Ron Johnson. But I mean, you know, the best back in Giants history has to be either Tiki Barber or Frank Gifford,
right?
And I would happily entertain, you know, arguments on either guy. I mean, Tiki Barber was a tremendous all-purpose player who just had some incredible years that, because of sort of the bitter way in the year or two after he finished, you know, people regard him. I think people forget how great he was toward the end of his career. And obviously Gifford was a transcendent talent who was sort of the hero of this city for a while. So I'd take either one of those arguments. And even though I'm a Ron Johnson guy, you can't really make that argument, I wouldn't think.
Fun debate. Both Gary and I were leaning. Gary said Frank Gifford or Tiki Barber. I said Tiki Barber because Gifford played a couple different positions a little before my time as well. So we're all on the same page. We thank you for that, Pete. Again, three guys relatively same age. Where were you 50 years ago today when NBC decided, yeah, we're going to leave the Raiders and Jets game and catch Heidi right at the beginning at 7 p.m.?
Well, I was an 11-year-old nerd. I'm sure I came in from raking the yard and to watch football, because every Sunday during the season, our family would go to Mass early on a Sunday morning, and then we would get home and rake for about 4 hours so that we could run inside in time to to watch the Giants play, which is usually at 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. It was great when they were on the West Coast.
Oh yeah,
because then you could relax a little bit more, and you wouldn't have to sprint through all your chores before then. But I know the story of that game, but I have zero recollection of what happened. I mean, it's a cute story, but I don't have any recollection of that at all.
You know, Peter, Jody also came up with a very with a memorable event that also happened right around that period of time, and that's when Felix Unger left his wife and went to live with Oscar Madison.
Hey, let me tell you something. We are just way too old for this audience.
Maybe a little bit, yes.
Listen, we are not. This is not where you want to skew right now, Jody. I mean, you're supposed to be talking about touchdown celebrations,
yeah,
and fantasy football. Come on.
We do enough of that, and we'll get back to it, rest assured, Peter. But, while we got guys of the same age together, we can remember the good old days. All right, let's talk about today. No longer the good old days. What the hell's going to happen with Le'Veon Bell? You talk about the ground that's never been sowed before. He's going to go into free agency, or is Pittsburgh going to try and transition him? Will other teams have issues with him? Is he still going to be a talent? What's the next couple of months going to be like for Le'Veon Bell before he finds out where he's playing his next game of football?
Well, my gut feeling is Pittsburgh's just going to let him go, but I don't know. I mean, the Steelers have their options open, but they certainly aren't going to franchise them at whatever it would be, $24 million. I mean, they might transition them, but I think they are most likely to simply just let them go and get them out of their hair and take you know, basically take a deep breath and say, okay, that was a gigantic distraction right there. And as far as what's his next, where he goes next, I mean, you know, the history of the Jets is that the Jets like to make splashes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he also is an, in his prime, extremely versatile back who would soon, 5 minutes after he got there, would be Sam Darnold's best friend. So I view this as not only something maybe to fill the upper decks, you know, at MetLife Stadium for sort of a disaffected fan base, but I also view that he could be a good player for them, and they have a boatload of cap money. Now, I don't think they're the only team that would be interested. I think Tampa will be interested. I think Indianapolis at the right price, he'd be perfect for them too. And Indianapolis has a huge, huge, huge amount of money, you know, under the cap next year. The Eagles, I think, would be very interested in him, but I think the problem in Philadelphia is they're going to have so many guys they have to pay that I question whether, you know, first of all, I question whether anybody is going to pay him $17 million a year on average. But I think those are some of the teams that will be interested in him.
I've seen the Raiders mentioned also, Peter, and really, who wouldn't want to go play for John Gruden with what he's doing there?
I know. He's got that team really humming now. I think the big question with the Raiders, and you're right, Gary, I think Gruden would love to get him. And I think the big question with the Raiders right now is Derek Carr going to be there after March 10th of next year? I mean, think about this. If the Chicago Bears somehow don't make the playoffs, and, you know, there's certainly no lock to make the playoffs, at least as we stand here right now. But if they don't make the playoffs, the Raiders right now would sit there with three picks in the top 20 and probably two picks in the top, you know, whatever, six or seven, you know, after, you know, because obviously – they've made trades that have put them in good position for the future. And so I think you look at that and now you say, does he want to completely clean house and go out and maybe they're going to have the first pick in the draft? Does he want to go get Justin Herbert, let's just say, the quarterback from Oregon, if he comes out, and maybe get Le'Veon Bell and just absolutely start with a brand new clean slate? That wouldn't surprise me at all. But, you know, I think the Raiders would be a good place for him. And, Gary, this is sort of the way I look at this right now. Because Le'Veon Bell did such a financially, in my opinion, a financially stupid thing in not making $14.5 million this year and instead making zero, it's so hard for me to imagine him ever making that money up.
Right.
The only way he's going to make it up is to go and right now and really take the absolute best offer that he can get. So whoever is going to put the most money on the table, even if it's not a very good team, I think that's where he'll go.
See, what I don't understand is why he just didn't take out a massive insurance policy. And I know those things only pay off if you suffer a career-ending injury, but maybe there's a way, I don't know if you know more about this than I do, Peter, but whether it can be worded that if you can prove that your ability to make money was impacted by an injury, even if it wasn't career-ending, if you can get it, you know, the insurance to pay off or not. But to leave $14.5 million on the table, I think me personally, I think I might have risked that money. Risked an injury to go play for that money, and then hopefully you get through the year okay, and then you can really cash in. But I don't know if an insurance policy would have taken care of that.
I don't know either. I don't know how. I mean, I know how those things work, but I don't know in that particular case if they could have done it. Here's the last thing I would say on this: if you're a quarterback and you're 27 years old, which you know he'll be 27 next season, if you're a quarterback and you're 27 years old and you're one of the best in the league, you can easily make up $14.5 million. If you're a running back and you're 20 years old, or 27 years old, it would be incredibly hard. You'd have to play almost as long as, almost as long as Frank Gore. And, you know, Frank Gore is probably playing for something close to the minimum right now. So, you know, look, I don't know why he did this. I think he just got so angry at the Steelers that he said, screw it. But I think it's just a foolish move by him.
Yeah, a lot of ego involved. Peter King here with us on The Fan. All right, Pete, Monday Night Football this week. We've got arguably the two best teams. Oh, apologies to the Saints. You want to tell me the Saints are the best? Fine. Two of the three best teams in football. Only 3 1-loss teams, and the Rams and Chiefs are two of them, and they're playing on Monday night. Just this week, the game was moved from Mexico back to L.A., where they can't sell out the house to begin with anyway. Now they got to try and sell tickets to a game that wasn't scheduled to be there 48 hours ago. I don't want to be a bad guy or a tough guy or anything else, but somebody's got to be to blame for this. Who should be feeling the pressure of the fact that this game was moved within 4 days of where it was supposed to be played into another country, and they're not going to be able to pack the house for a game between two of the three best teams in the NFL?
Well, I think they're going to come close to packing the house. As of this afternoon, they sold 68,000 tickets basically in about 60 hours. And so they'll be... I was at the game a couple of weeks ago when they played the Packers, and they had 75,000. And there looked like there was not an empty seat in the place for that one, even though about 45,000 were Packer fans.
I was going to say that, yeah.
Yeah. But there's going to be a very big crowd there Monday night, I believe. Now, as far as who deserves the blame for this, I mean, I'm going to go and say that I think it's the NFL's blame, or it's the NFL's fault that, you know, for such a mega event, even though they had ample warning, basically they couldn't do anything about it in the last 2 or 3 weeks before this, when they overscheduled a building in the midst of a country's rainy season. And obviously you saw the photos, it was an unplayable field. I think the interesting thing was, I talked to one of the players, or I talked to a player for one of the two teams the night that the game was moved, and he said to me, this would have been really embarrassing for the NFL, because I think they knew that we would have not taken the field on that field. So even though the NFL said, came out and proactively said, we're not, we're putting the health and safety of the players first, I'm not arguing that they did do that, but the players were not going to take the field for that game. So I think the NFL, if the NFL is going to farm out its games to places like London and Mexico City, they have to make an agreement with the place that they are going to put the game, that if we're going to play a game here and you make the agreement that we're going to play a game here, we have to be an equal partner in terms of the field surface and the turf. And otherwise, we're not going to agree to play the game here. So, and Jody, there's one other X factor. So the Rams, the Chargers, and the Raiders, because they are all between stadiums, you know, they don't have a permanent stadium. One of the NFL's little-known rules is that if you don't have a permanent stadium and you're in between cities or in between places where you're playing, you know, for permanent structures, you have to give in that year, you have to play one of the international games. There's likely going to be 5 of those next year, 4 in London and 1 in Mexico City. It'll be the most games the NFL has ever played overseas. So 3 of those games are going to be Rams, Chargers, Raiders. And I've heard the Raiders are already pushing very hard to be the Mexico team next year, because instead of being on a plane for 13 hours, John Gruden wants to be on a plane for 3.5 hours. So that's a little bit of inside football that's going on right now. So even though Mexico City, it's a huge embarrassment, I think you're going to have teams jockeying to play in Mexico City next year, because they don't want to, their West Coast teams They don't want to go to London.
And the Raiders went to London this season and pretty much didn't show up. Weren't they? Were they trying to resod the field in Mexico City this week? I thought I had seen
the problem with that, Gary. The problem with that is it's one of those fields. There's either one or two of them in the United States or in the NFL. They're the combination of synthetic and natural grass.
Oh, okay.
So, in other words, when you put, what I was told is, if you put fresh sod down, there are things you have to do in addition to putting the sod down, which is almost like you have to bind the sod to the artificial part of the turf. And I don't know exactly how it works, but it's not as easy as just taking everything up and laying down new sod, say, 6 days before the game, or else that's probably what they would have tried to do.
Peter, great stuff. We appreciate you coming on. Yes, we took you down memory lane just a little bit. We got to get
good.
We got to get back to talking to the millennials.
At least Jody didn't start singing the Odd Couple theme song again. He knows the whole thing.
I could do that because I watched every Odd
right.
Couple episode.
I hear we go for a duet.
All right, let's hear it. Give me the opening.
I don't know the words.
No, I know the words.
You can provide the music and Jody can do the words.
Oh, I do not know the words.
Oh, okay. You do the background music, I'll do the words again. On November 13th, Felix Unger was asked to leave his place of residence. That request came from his wife. Deep down, he knew he would someday return to her. With nowhere else to go, he appeared in the home of childhood friend Oscar Madison. Some years earlier, Madison's wife had thrown him out, requesting he never return. Can two divorced men share an apartment without driving each other crazy? Thank you, Pete.
I think the music threw him off a little bit at first, Jody.
Yeah, a little bit, but I caught up there. Peter, great stuff. We appreciate you coming on board. Thanks, pal.
Thanks for having me, guys.
See you later,
Peter King, NBC Sports, here with us on The Fan.